From the studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Despite efforts to keep us on the other side, we are back.
Keep us on the other side?
Well, I had to come up with some type of intro.
But it should possibly make sense.
Nothing makes sense anymore. That's what I've come up with. When you're trying to... I don't know. It's just so frustrating. But speaking of frustration, I'm Robin, and that is Cliff. And we're missing one.
I'm on the other side.
He's definitely on the other side. And Cliff, what is it we're missing?
What are we missing? Telephone number. Is that
yes.
It? Huh? I got it.
No.
Oh, 646-721-9887. Now, that's easy to remember. It should be easy to remember because we've said it so many times. Of course, I don't remember it, but 646-721-9887. 9887. I don't have to remember it. I've got it taped to the top of my screen on my computer, so it's right there all the time. Otherwise, I would never remember what it is.
That's right, and you should follow suit, but put it above the screen, not on the screen.
Well, I have a little space on my computer monitor. It's very little. It's just big enough for that number to be. It's about half an inch up there that I can tape it to.
Or you could use what one of Microsoft's failed ideas, which was the virtual post-it note.
The virtual post-it note?
Yes.
What is the difference between that and any other screen?
It's just little squares, yellow squares that you put on your screen virtually that says like a post-it note, except you can't take it off your screen because it's really not there.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Like you say, it was another fail.
It's one of their failed ideas. I think it comes with Windows 7.
Well, I don't have Windows 7, so that has something to do with it.
646-721-9887. Emails, of course, go to talk@krbnradio.com. And, you know, if you're listening to us on the archives, again, still welcome, and you can always send us comments regarding the program or anything that's on your mind you'd like us to talk about in future programs. We're always looking for people's feedback, and thank you for the people that have sent us emails and news items. We definitely appreciate that. And again, thank you for everybody that checked us out. We do appreciate that. Hope that you come back and give us a call, 646-721-9887. If there's something of interest that you'd like to talk about that we are not talking about, give us a call. We can switch gears and talk what you want to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I know about everything. I know about absolutely everything. Yeah.
I asked him, and he told me.
Yep. And explicitly.
Explicitly. He may not always be right, but he knows about it.
Well, you can't always be right.
You can't?
I stopped. Yeah, you can't always be right. You can try, and you can think you were, but you not always. Not always. Sometimes I miss it by a little bit.
Yes. Well, I want to touch. We got a couple topics we want to touch on, and again, one of the things is illegal immigration. That's really starting to be more in the headline news, and what's going on with that. And something that I don't think this is a real news report, but as I think about it, I think it should be a real news report. And this is from The Onion, which take it and leave it.
Oh, God.
Washington instructing workers to be on the lookout for a huge package labeled fragile. Vice President Joe Biden visited the White House mailroom Friday to check out for the arrival of a grow light he had delivered under the fake name and multiple resources reported. I'm reading this cold. You guys know if any boxes arrive for Robert Marley?
I, you know, one could wonder what he wants with a grow light. I don't think he's using it for what they're thinking he is, but whatever.
Yeah, well, whether he is or whether he isn't, I think, well, for one, I think they are, and two, maybe if they stayed stone up there in Washington, that things might get a little better. Or,
well, I'm sorry, but I think they are stoned.
Yeah.
And that's what's wrong. I mean, you know, right now, the president has not got a very high approval rating. We're probably all aware of that, right?
Yes.
But it's still 10 times as good as Congress.
Yeah.
I mean, our government is in real trouble right at the moment, as far as most of our people are concerned. And yet nobody's really willing to do about anything about it. We don't have anybody running for office that's any better than what we've got, and we're not. And when they do, when somebody does run, we don't hire them. We just let it go, and we let the old people stay. I mean, it just I get so absurdly upset about the fact that we don't pay attention. We the people,
right? We
the people.
We the people.
Wasn't there a speech about that or something?
There was.
Anyway, but we don't do anything about it. We just sit back and let it happen. And
it has something to do with football.
Oh, well, even if it has something to do with football, we don't do anything about that. We let it happen. We get upset about it, but we still just let it happen. It just, you know.
Yes, we get upset at the fact that somebody may be offended over the word Redskins.
Well, how can you be upset at the word Redskins?
I don't know. Apparently, Congress or somebody thinks that people are upset over that word, although the fans and even the Indians are going, like yeah, uh-huh, whatever.
Well, that whole thing, I think, is... See, this political correct thing, that's got to go.
Yeah.
That's just simply got to go, because we're never going to be politically correct.
Well, political correctness is what got us in trouble in the first place. In fact, something that's a little annoying is that, going back to the opener where we're talking about the illegal immigration, and now they're starting to call it a border crisis instead of, which is drowning out humanitarian issues. Congress just went to recess, and they won't be back till September. It's like, guys, if we were under attack of some sort, you know, are you guys going to just sit there and, well, we'd like to continue the war and defend the United States, you know. I know the tanks are coming across the borders now, but you know what? We'll see in September.
Well, I'd be just as happy if we didn't go on vacation if we were in the middle of a war, because all they do is screw it up anyway.
Yeah, they would.
I mean, they don't know what's going on. I mean, we don't have people in there. See, we don't vote for people who have intelligence. We just vote for people if they look pretty.
Oh, God. There's a video that went viral. And it's still circulating the web. I can't remember the guy's name. He sounds like he's drunk. It's some type of congressional testimony. And he's the one actually behind the microphone taking the testimony. And it's about some small island where he's going, well, this island is, it's about, what, 12 miles wide? Yes, sir. And it's about 30 miles long, right? Yes, sir. Well, if we put too much more stuff on there, won't that island tip over? I need to get back to you on that one, sir. The guy giving testimony, you could just see him virtually in his mind just taking his hand and slapping his forehead and going, are you kidding me? And then I'm looking at this going, these are the guys that get elected in the office?
That's the case. That's what I'm saying. The thing is, even if they were halfway intelligent, we thought when we elected them, they are not intelligent in everything. And they're only intelligent in three or four things, and we elect them for that, and then we put them in there to do everything. And we should, you know, there's got to be some way to divide this up so that the people who know about one thing can vote on that, and who know about other things can vote on that, but not have to vote on everything. It's just, I don't know. Where you're sitting.
I think what it is that some people are going, once I get in, all I have to do is just keep a low profile, and for 4 years I can do whatever the hell I want, even nothing, and I'm going to get a heck of a retirement, and I'm set for life.
That's fine with me. That's fine with me. You know, my opinion, if they want to get in there and sit down there quietly and just sit on their hands and do nothing for 4 years, that's fine. I wouldn't mind that a bit, except they don't. They seem to think they know something. They seem to think they have something to say, and they start to say it. That's when we get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you got the Nancy Pelosi's and all those idiots up there. The ones that, like Harry Reid, that most Americans feel we should give, we should legalize the 11 million illegals already over here. Really? I'd like to see your numbers.
Well, you know, they've done polls on everything.
Yes.
But the polls don't say anything. They don't mean anything because you can depends on how you ask the question to begin with as to what answer you get. And I know sometimes there are a couple of companies who do spend their life figuring out questions or how to ask the question to get the appropriate answer. But why do we believe them? Why do we believe that they know what they're doing? So I it's just, you know, there's six one way and half a dozen the other answers for everything.
And if you think that Cliff is talking intelligently, press 1. If you think he's not, press 2. If you're undecided, press 3.
I don't have any buttons to press. I don't have a telephone. Oh well. I guess.
All seriousness aside. Yeah. Now things are just getting really crazy.
Here's a crazy one. Here's a crazy one for you.
Okay, tell me a crazy one.
When the school year begins this year.
Yes.
They're going to arm the teachers. The teachers are going to be able to carry guns. And more than 9 states have passed a law allowing teachers to have firearms in school on them. They don't have to have them in sight.
Right.
They could be hidden, but they are allowed to carry the guns in school. And it's just, it's crazy, I think, personally.
It's a crazy world. I mean, schools have really changed since you and I have been. But, you know, there are more shootings, but I think we hear more of them, more about them, because we have a nationalized news network. You know, we're more connected now than what we used to be back, you know, when we relied on horses for transportation.
Really? Well, it is a huge difference as to how much information gets out and gets to the people. I mean, like it or not, people do look at the computer. People do pay attention to the computer. And a lot of people have these, when they open up the computer, it comes up to a page that gives you news headlines. And an awful lot of people come up with that. There's, I think, every possible Yahoo, everybody has a page that does that. And it's, I suppose, in some ways kind of neat because you get a glance at least. And the thing is, if any news system wants to have information put out, they've got to get on the front page of that, and a lot of them do. But the thing is, it's easy to do. You don't have to be a news item. You don't have to be worthy of news. You just have to have the right person pushing buttons and pulling the strings.
Well,
to get there.
I got a question for you then. If teachers are allowed to carry guns, does that mean that students are allowed to eat Pop-Tarts under the zero tolerance policy?
Well, it depends on how they eat them. If they eat them in a certain order, they can. But if they eat them in the wrong order, they're a weapon. depends on what they look like when you take the first 4 bites.
Yes.
If they look wrong, then you got to throw them out and and expel them. Expel the kid, not the Pop-Tart.
Yeah, I'd like
or both.
I'd like to expel a few things. I'm looking up. And by the way, welcome back, Flycatch. I am checking out the link you just sent me. A couple things that we were going to touch on, by the way, before we got sidetracked, is that Obama is threatening once again to act on his own. You know, which again, I thought we were done with having kings. But in the meantime, before the recess, the House actually unveiled two bills. One, to speed up deportation of the children coming across the border. And another one, which actually would waive environmental policies and allow Border Patrol agencies to post lookouts and pursue illegal immigrants across sensitive federal lands. Although nothing is stopping the illegals from...
Wait a minute, pursue them where? I mean, pursue them back out that way or on in? Which direction you want them to pursue them?
Well, considering what's been going on, I mean, it used to be that they would hide from the Border Patrol agents. Now they're seeking them out.
Well, of course they are. You know, one of the things is I saw on television today, because, you know, I sit down and I watch television for an hour before I do this just to get an idea of what is being put out there. But one of the things I saw was the fact that you can't – some people said, well, why don't these people that are in other countries just to go to the immigration office in that country and they'll be sent to the United States? That's not true. You can't get to the United States by just simply going to one of the offices in any country. You just can't do it. That's why they're coming across the border the way they are. It's just there's no other way to get here. I mean, the other way to get here is a way that takes at least 2 or 3 years. And these people don't want to wait 2 or 3 years. First of all, by the time they're 2 or 3 years old, their chances are a lot of these kids will be dead. So tough luck. But the thing is, you know.
How do we really know that? I mean, if things are so bad, why aren't we intervening?
Oh, good God, man. You've got to be kidding. We can't intervene. We don't dare intervene. I mean, this is – you can't go to
– Tell me a country we have not stuck our nose into.
Well, we stick our nose into it. We don't intervene. We don't tell them what to do, and we don't dare tell them what to do.
No,
we
go to war with somebody and then apologize for winning.
Well, that's a different story. And I – in a way, I agree because we shouldn't – see, why – see, to my opinion – if we go to war and we do win, which is better win, we should be in control of that country. We should be the ones who are making all of the decisions from there on out. And what country have we done that to? We've been to war with a lot of different countries. We have never done that to anybody. And whose fault is that? It's got to be ours. It's got to be us stupid people for letting them, you know, we go to war, we win the war, and then we give it back to them.
Yeah.
How stupid is that?
I'm sorry we won.
That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very upsetting to me because we don't have any control over any of the things that we do once we step aside. And it's ridiculous.
I was just scanning Flycatch's article as we're talking and kind of goes along with the whole point is, and just doesn't surprise me at all, is that somebody's trying to make a profit out of the illegals crossing the border, including like Rick Perry, who is trying to, you know, make a name for himself and maybe a Republican presidential contender coming up, which again does not surprise me.
What about the Republican contender?
Rick Perry, because he's the one that is saying he's going to put 1,000 National Guard out on the border, and I don't know if he's actually done it yet, but he's been threatening to do it, and I think I can't remember if he ran for president before or if he intends to. He's a governor right now of Texas.
He wants to run for president, but the thing is, 1,000 National Guard, 1,000 of anybody, doesn't accomplish anything. You realize how long that border is? You put 1,000 people on the border and you haven't even, and you've got one every 2 miles. That doesn't do anything.
Okay, I got an idea. You go ahead and you just, the people are coming across, some of them, and I'm going to be racist here, I admit it, they go out to these day job sites, you know, looking for work. It's like, okay, you, hold hands, you are part of the border fence for today. Here's your job.
Well, if we paid them for it, we paid them enough for it.
Yeah.
But where
everybody
were you?
Can hold hands and sing I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke.
Kumbaya.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. You can't expect a person who doesn't have any interest in that. I mean, you've got to. You know, believe it or not, even in a situation like this, you've got to look for people who actually care. And nobody that you pick up off the street's going to care about that. I mean, they don't care about the little piddly-ass jobs that they get anyway, and they don't do them well. That's part of the problem we have. That's why the people that go out and pick these people up off the streets and put them to work pulling beets or something. I mean, you know, they do something on the fields, something that takes no intelligence, no thought, and all it does is, you know, and you don't even get very many, you don't get much response for that because they aren't into it, so they're not going to work it very hard. So there are a few that's gonna work actually to do something, but not very many of them. So consequently, you know, we could probably get 10 times as many strawberries picked with somebody who cared about it.
Right.
You know, I put that in the terms of strawberries because I was there on the strawberries. I was not the one picking them. I was the one who was hiring them. And believe it or not, if you're going to do very much in strawberries, if you're going to do strawberries and actually make a profit at it, you've actually got to pay attention to who you're hiring. And believe it or not, you've got to hire somebody who's really interested in, I don't know, they're not, probably not that interested in strawberries, but they're interested in how much money they're making. And so consequently, it becomes a very delicate balance as to how much you pay them. If you pay them too much, they're not going to work very hard. If you don't pay them enough, they're not going to work very hard. You've got to find a very little tiny space there. It's hard. It's not easy.
Other headlines. House GOP passes bill to shut down Obama's deportation relief program, saying House Republicans have passed legislation to shut down a program by President Obama granting deportation relief to immigrants brought here illegally as kids. And the legislation passed 216-192 late Friday, which could put more than 700,000 immigrants who received temporary work permits in the line for deportation.
I don't know how to respond to that. I like the idea, and I don't like the idea. I mean, they're here. The thing is, you got to, these people that are coming into this country, that are crossing the borders right now, we're not going to be able to keep them in certain places. They're being spread out anyway, as it is, because we don't have any place to put them. They're being sent to all different states and spread out to the different states. And if they're, once they get there, if they have a way of doing it, they can get a job or something, that's fine. I hope they can find a way to stay. But we can't keep them all on the border. We can't have huge, big dormitories or prisons or whatever on the border with thousands and thousands and thousands of immigrants in them. We can't do that. That can't work. So then what do we do?
Well, it comes to a point where you just got to, I mean, like you say, you turn them around and they're just, or turn them away, they're just going to turn around and come right back, and that's what's happening.
Well, nobody's actually turning them away. Nobody's actually sending them back. they put them on planes and they send them back to the country that they came from, or the country that they look like they came from, if they won't tell you. Because an awful lot of these kids, and adults for that matter, won't talk. They won't tell you a thing because they know they're going to be judged on what they tell you. And so I'm from South America, then presto, you're going to be back in South America. And that's not what you want, so you're not going to tell them that.
Yeah.
You know, I came from Texas. What do you mean you came from Texas? This is Texas. I know.
And like Flycat suggested in doing a Google search for, which I just did, is like here's a headline, Houston, Texas, the federal government in dire need of U.S. citizens willing to house thousands of illegal immigrants who enter the country each week, and they are willing to pay them to do so. Texas-based nonprofit Catholic Charities is currently seeking out foster families for migrants, most of whom are from Central America. Spokeswoman said that they're looking for housing for adult immigrants who are under 23 years of age. And another one says that foster families will be given $40 a day for daycare for each immigrant they can take care of from Catholic Charities. The payments are funded by the federal government, actually taxpayers, tax-free. Foster parents have the ability to collect more than $7,400 per month, considering that they house six immigrants at any given time.
Well, you know, there are people doing the same thing with foster kids. There are people that take a lot of foster kids and that are doing it as a business.
Right.
I mean, I it's kind of sad, and I'm very unhappy that they do that. I used to take foster kids, but not for that reason. But the thing is, any way to make money, people will try to do it. And any way to try to get around the rules, they will try to do that, too.
Well, the point is, what I'm seeing here is that we got this wave of people coming over. The federal government's already busing them throughout the United States, and sooner or later they're going to be released. And so you're attacking from within. And, you know, most of these people, I mean, they're coming over here because they feel that once, you know, they're claiming the rumor, once over here they can stay here. And by the way things are looking, that's exactly what's going to happen. But what better way to, as Obama said in 2008, to fundamentally change America? Well, this is doing it. And especially, like, I was reading an article earlier today that they were talking about, one person was an illegal immigrant commenting on amnesty and stuff, and he said he's been in the United States for 17 years, and he said he was speaking through a translator for the article, and as one person commented, he says he's been here for 17 years. Why the hell does he need a translator?
Well, I have a different opinion on that and a different slant on that. I have tried to learn different languages, and I just can't. I just have never been successful at it. You know, about the most successful I've been is Piglet.
Yeah, but
I'm very good at that.
If you're going to another country, you know, learn their damn language. But then again, there's, I can't remember if it's a 2020 news article or something I saw where this lady was in the country, I think for, I don't know, 14, 15 years, whatever, doesn't speak a word of English, considers it an insult to speak English, and says that she doesn't have to speak English because she lives in a Spanish community inside the United States. And I look at it this way. If English is such an insult for you, go home.
Well, if she lives in a Spanish community, she's home.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. That this
I
is,
know what you're saying, but yeah. The thing is, that's our fault. If we're going to allow different communities to be in within the United States, then that's our fault.
Well, it's our fault. It's our fault for accommodating. Because of the greed, you know, get right down to it, because of the greed is why we're doing, press 1 for English. Bite me.
Oh, boy. It's again, it's a very difficult thing to go because well, I won't go to another country. I wouldn't move to another country for that reason. But if I did, I'd find a place of people who spoke my language and live there.
Yeah. Or out of courtesy, you would at least learn their language or try to, like, remember the little books that they used to carry out before you had the Google Translate, you know, where you would try to communicate with the natives of the country?
I did that. I used one of those. I went to Turkey. I was in the military when I did this, and I had one of these little books. And, you know, it's interesting because in Turkey, almost everybody there speaks English. But if you go in there and you just blurt out something in English, they're going to speak Turkish and hold you to it. But if you read the little book and you try very hard with that little book to break it out and to speak to their language, then they're going to say, hey, put the book away. I can talk to you without it. But, again, they're not going to do it if you don't try. So I got away with it a little bit by at least trying, but I just never could get the act of, you know, I know merhaba abi, which is hello. There are two or three words that I can speak in Turkish, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you get my point. You did that out of respect for the country that you went to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, to be honest with you, I did it out of the idea that it helped me.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do it out of respect for the country, unfortunately. I was pretty young, and I didn't have much respect for anything. I mean, when you're young, you don't. At least I didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't even happy to be there. I was there because the Army put me there, and love it or not.
Well, we're getting to a point here in our own country where you got to be trilingual just to be able to get a job, which is the sad thing about it because, the act of coming here, it used to be when people really wanted to come here, they were proud to be an American, and they would work to assimilate into the country. Now they don't have to. They don't care. You know, and the worst part about it is when you look at our security, how porous our borders are, and how easy these people are coming in, is that it makes us ripe for a real invasion from other countries that hate us. I mean, we're proven right now we can't even defend ourselves against kids. How are we supposed to defend ourselves against a major attacker?
Well, you know, I hate to tell you this, but this is a real invasion. You know, like it or not, the only reason we're not shooting these kids down is because they're kids.
Right.
We have this thing in our country, we're too easy. We're going to sit there and let them run over us because they're little kids. Well, tough luck, you know. And the thing is, what's going to cost us most? I believe we should come up with an area in the middle of the country that has no people in it or very few people in it, and take them out there and let them make their own community.
Right.
I mean, most of them, I'm not talking about the 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, because there's not that many of them. But the 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, they're able to do that. They're able to work. They're able to do things. And you know, it's a great way to be immigrants. It's a great way to be pioneers. And let them do that. I mean, we had to pioneer our way into this country. Why can't they?
Then bring, if you're going to do that, then bring back the CCCs for the immigrants illegal immigrants who really, truly want to become Americans, not the illegal immigrants who are just, quote-unquote, escaping and are looking for a place to hide and think that we should just welcome them with open arms and then just release you into our country and you go willy-nilly on whatever the hell you want to do.
Okay, wait a minute now. What's the CCC?
You don't remember what the CCC is?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were thinking of. That doesn't work, doesn't count. We want to make them go back further than that. We want to make them immigrants. We want to make them pioneers. Let them go out and you know, stake out a claim on property Because there's an awful lot of property in the middle of the country that's just, it's probably owned by somebody, but we can, a lot of it's owned by the federal government. We can give it to them. And the thing is, let them be pioneers. Let them be people. That wasn't an easy thing to do.
Yeah, but why should we let them be anything?
Because we can't stop them?
So we can't stop anybody?
No. We're not. Are we stopping them? Are we any possible?
No, because here's the deal. And I had this little argument. I can't remember what the website was, and it was kind of this gal really made my point. Is that talking about the children coming over here? I said that people that are just going, it's for the children, it's for the children. You're blind and stupid. And I said, and this really got her. And I said, kittens are cute. Kittens grow up to be cats. Cats have kittens, and she got mad at me because she says, well, you're just not normal. What do you mean? Kitten, they said children are not animals. No, but it's the same thing. You allow all these kids to come over. Kids are going to grow up. They're going to have kids, and the cycle continues. And next thing we're flooded, and America is no more. Especially since they don't have to assimilate to assimilate to live here.
Well, they certainly do.
No, they don't. Because you're just saying, you create these little communities, however you termed it. They can go out and have I'm going to get back and say little communities again. Like this lady that felt it was an insult to speak English. And it'd be like all the states becoming independent, and what type of chaos that would be.
Wait a minute.
There's actually a...
I thought the states were independent.
Well, not entirely. There's a thing, part of the Constitution, it's commerce law, that the states initially were independent, and then they had to come up with a way, because every time you went from state to state to state, there'd be a different tariff on purchases or whatever, and they had to... that didn't work out, so we had to kind of all come under one umbrella into this thing that we used to call the Constitution, that used to mean something.
I you're jumping from one thing to another, and you've got me lost. I mean...
Where I'm going with this is, don't be blinded by the fact, and this is what you hear in the news a lot, it's for the children, the unaccompanied children. Well, most of the children.
I've never heard that. Never heard this for the children bit. I mean, it's not for the children. The fact is, the children are coming here and
they're coming here unaccompanied, and people are bowing down all over the place going, they're children. We got to welcome them in. They're children. We can't turn children away. These children are escaping tyranny and abuse and doing all that, and people are falling for the fact that, first of all, you have to get a group of people to agree on anything is one thing. To get a group of people to agree to sneak across in international lines is another thing, but to get people by the hundreds of thousands to come in masses and only just, quote, children and their mothers has got to be orchestrated. And if you're going to be blind by just saying, it's for the children, they're just children, we got to welcome them in and spread them out throughout the United States. If you believe that, it makes my kitten analogy very
analogous. But anyway, it doesn't at all, because these what are children? What are we considering children? What age group?
Well, I guess anything under 22 years old, according to a lot of these articles.
No. That's ridiculous, because anything under maybe 10 years old or 12 years old could be children. Anything over that, they're old enough to think for themselves, and they can think for themselves, and there's nothing wrong. Okay, turning them loose with just absolutely nothing except the clothes on their back, that's I don't think we should do. But we aren't doing that. We actually have lawyers that are going to the border and going down there and giving them a court date and helping them through. And there are thousands of these lawyers. I was just watching that on television today as they were talking to, I don't remember her name, but she's the head lawyer. She's the head of the lawyers group, and she was talking about them. And the thing is, they're down there helping these kids and everybody else for that matter. But the thing is, that's why they're ending up in different places, because they're being sent to different places and being farmed out, and they're discerning whether or not they can take care of themselves and what they want to do with them. I mean, it's not something that we can just decide helter skelter. It's not something you can just do at the spur of the moment. You've got to think about this and work with this and work with them, and it's a big problem, and it doesn't have an easy settlement.
Well, at some point, like I say, you got to put up a fence. You got to do something. You got to keep these people in one area, and you got to put a stop to it. You know, like the thing that the Republicans passed. You know, turn around and deport them as quickly as possible. You process them and send them away. And if they keep coming back, it went from a misdemeanor, which is a penalty for coming in.
That's ridiculous. You can't make a law.
If you don't make a law, the law is already on the books.
So you charge them with a misdemeanor, and that doesn't accomplish anything. That doesn't even slow them down. That doesn't mean a thing to them. They're not American citizens. They don't care what you charge them with. They can do anything you want to. And it's kind of silly to even think about that, because it's just not going to accomplish anything. You've got to make it real and make it mean something. You can't just turn them around. No matter what you do, it costs you a significant amount of money.
Okay, then you do like what Jesse Ventura wants to do. He says, tear down the borders completely, let anybody come and go as they want to go. Well, all that does, like I say, is not only invites invaders that really want to harm our country, it also brings in, I think you have a news report on your docket about fatal diseases are starting to show up, and some that we've eradicated in the United States are starting to reappear because people are coming through, not through the checkpoints. They're just coming in.
You see, I happen to disagree. In a certain way, that actually would be best. Because shut up and listen to me.
Okay.
If we just tore down the borders and we just said to hell with it and just let it go, they'd stop coming because there'd be nobody there to help them. There'd be nobody there to stop them. There'd be nobody there to put them in a big building or to give them something to eat or to something to wear. And they'd be on their own all the way through the United States. And that'd be harder yet. You know, there's no end. In the product, there's nothing to go to. You're going to just get there, and you got more of the same. And so they're going to stop.
Okay.
See, we're letting people know that we're helping them. We're letting everybody in the world know that we're allowing them to come into the United States, and we're going to sort it out for them. And we're stuck with it. We're stuck with helping them do whatever they want to do or whatever we want them to do, but they're going to be taken care of. And we can't do that. We can't just take care of the entire world. Or if we wish to do that, we need to do it right and put them somewhere where they can do something. That's where if we build a community or built a city in the middle of the country or two or three of them and stuck them in there and let them work from there, that's one thing. But just to let them just go and what do we do? We're busing them once they get here. We're putting them on a plane and sending them to Washington, D.C. or whatever. What are we doing with them there? We're taking care of them. And that's not accomplishing anything. We're just going to be stuck taking care of the whole world.
Yeah, we can't even take care of ourselves. I mean, my roommate who lost her job and et cetera and is going through some medical issues, got authorized for food stamps for $95 a month.
That's actually quite a bit.
Yeah, if you want to live on $3 a day.
And you can't?
No, you can go to McDonald's and take advantage of their dollar meal.
And get three of them. Whatever. Anyway, the thing is, there are some people who are living on almost nothing as we speak. And I happen to be almost one of them. But the thing is, it's that's still 10 times as... much as they would have probably when they're from where they're coming from.
Yeah, but again, you make an excellent point. You know, stop the aid and everything else, and stop the freebies, and stop this, that, and the other thing. But you know, here's the thing: a woman comes across the border, dragging, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 year old with her, and first of all, she's immediately eligible, like you say, for assistance, whether she's supposed to get it or not. And then, even if we followed your analogy and cut off all assistance, the churches and other organizations are going to say, but they're kids, they're the children. We've got to take care of the children.
Then let them take care of them. Let them take care of them.
Out of their own pocket.
Out of their own pocket.
Out of their own pocket, not this, like Breitbart or whatever, another $1.4 billion for foster care. You know, not because the taxpayers are paying for that.
Well, the thing is, we've got to get our government out of this. Our government needs to be taking care of our people only. Of course, the thing is, once they've lived here for a short period of time, they're going to be our people. And so we're going to be taking care of them anyway. But the thing is, if they came to the border and found nothing there to help them, that would be a huge deterrent, I think.
Okay, well, first of all,
the thing is, any way you look at it, we're talking about a year in the meantime, because, you know, it's going to take a year of them coming here to get the word back. We're talking about something. We've got a year of hell to pay, no matter what.
Well, one thing, like this one commentary, you know, you got to stop thinking as these, as they're calling it, immigrants, illegal aliens, as refugees. You know, you got to start. It's like a leaky faucet. Sooner or later, you got to go to the main valve and shut it off if you're going to fix it. And that's what I don't hear anything in the news except for us depicting that. Let's send out little songs or whatever. Messages saying that, you know, if you come here, you're going to be sent away. You know, we need to send a message that, you know, if you come here, you are not going to stay here. And then, like I said, if they're coming from Guatemala or other places and they really do have this problem, why aren't they asking for help?
Okay, one of the things that we've got to consider is the fact that we're not the only country involved in this. There are other countries that are taking 10 times as many people in as refugees than we are. I mean, we've got a very small portion of them because it's a lot harder for them to get here. But there are countries down there on the border with these countries that are the people are coming from that are taking hundreds of thousands of people, and they're doing it and have already done it, and they can only take so many, you know.
Well, why is Mexico and stuff? Mexico and some of the other countries have basically a non-tolerance immigrant policy, and why are they letting these people from other countries get a free pass through their country?
I don't know that they are, you can't answer for them. I can't answer for them. I don't know what they're doing. That's their country, and they're taking care of that. And we can make we can think about what we want to think about. We can make up excuses for them all day long, and still we're not going to accomplish anything because we don't know what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Well, why aren't we demanding? I can't remember the guy's name, but why aren't we demanding that sergeant, that ex-Marine that made a wrong turn into Mexico? Why aren't we demanding his release? Why is Mexico hanging on to him? He crossed into Mexico illegally. And they snagged him up right then, and he's been in jail ever since.
Because they can make money off of him.
How are they making money off of him?
I'm sure there's a way. I'm sure there's a way. You know, there's got to be some reason that they kept him there. It wasn't because they just wanted to pay his way. It wasn't because they wanted to spend their money to feed him and clothe him and everything else forever. Because that, I'm sure, wasn't part of the game. So they've got to be making money off of it somewhere.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, Mexico's, maybe we should follow Mexico's immigration policy, because that, because you know, if you go over there and you get caught, that, You know, there's not going to be any, hi, how you doing? You know, even if you do become a citizen of their country, you're still not allowed to vote. You're still not allowed to do, you know, some of the rights of the citizens of the other country you don't have even if you become a citizen of that country. Over here, you keep hearing the rumor that all these immigrants that are coming over here are going to all be Democrats and reelected Democrats. I mean, I don't know what backs that up, but how they think about that. But again, the only way that can happen is if they're citizens. Oh, wait, you can already vote if you're illegal. Just do the motor voter thing like an Oregon has.
Well, you know, any of these problems that we have with how people can vote and how they can't vote and what they can do and what they can't do, that's our problem. That's our fault. And it has nothing to do with anybody except our stupidity. And so consequently, we've got to figure that out for ourselves. But as far as them coming into this country is concerned, we actually have this country and in some states anyway, identification that is, for example, in Colorado, they've got this thing their licenses state right on the face of it. It says it can't be used for identification. The holder, it cannot be used to vote as a form of federal identification or to apply for government benefits. And that's right on their licenses, their driver's license, et cetera, if they're not an actual citizen of this country. And we've just got to, some states have it put together. Some states have it thought out. Other states don't bother to even try. And so until we can get our act together, we have to take what we got.
Well, that's the point. We should get our act together and quit apologizing.
Well, let's do it. How do we do it? I mean, you know, how do we get our act together? How do we convince every state to do what Colorado was doing, for example?
I mean, Oregon was originally going to allow illegals to have driver's license, and enough people said, hey, wait a minute. No. So at least it's going to be up on the November ballot to let the citizens decide, which, of course, gets back to the way the system works, is where a bunch of people up there in, I forget how many people are in the House, Oregon House, decide that we want to do this despite what you think, and we're going to do it anyways. If you don't like it, well, you can rally and get hundreds of thousands of signatures, and then you can vote on your opinion, which I think is a backwards way of doing it.
Well, it's not going to make any difference anyway because, you know, like I say, if they want to drive, they're going to drive. They're not going to give a damn about whether they have a driver's license or not.
Yeah,
they're just going to drive. And so consequently, what have we accomplished? Nothing.
Well, here's a good example. Again, referring back to Oregon, you and I go to the DMV to get our driver's license. We have to show our birth certificate, and our driver's license here are good for 8 years. However, if you are undocumented, you can get a provisional driver's license that's good for 4 years. Well, all you have to do is show a name and you've lived in one spot for a year. They don't check your ID or anything. Heck, when I had to go get assistance when I was unemployed, they ran my Social Security number and I came back as Heidi Rodriguez. You know, people are making up these numbers and it's not being verified. They're not using the E-Verify system that we have in place. They can give them any name they want to. I've even heard of people applying for jobs and they'll go ahead and they'll run the social and it comes, well, I'm sorry, this social does not match your name. Oh, here, try this one.
Yeah. And that's been going on for a long time. When I was selling stuff in California when I was living there, and I worked as a salesman in a big department store and a chain store. And whenever somebody came in to buy something, it was almost 100-to-1, almost 100% that the person would have more than one Social Security card in their purse or a wallet or whatever.
Right.
And if it didn't work on the first one, they bring out another one, let you run it and see if that worked. And I was caught up in it because I wanted to sell them some. They had money. All I had to have was the identification to be able to sell them something. Consequently, I made sure it worked. every chance I got. So we're all, I think, guilty of this one way or another. It's all driven by the almighty dollar.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And I think that people are starting to put enough pressure, unfortunately, to put enough pressure that on the Republican side, at least, they're starting to listen. Like this headline just came up from Breitbart. Border bill passes House, and says House Republicans passed a border supplemental bill Friday night in a 223-198 vote, came after initial attempt at a border supplement failed to make it to the floor on Thursday due to lack of support. And I'm scanning this because it's a pretty big article. But since October, more than 57,000 unaccompanied minors, the vast majority who are from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, have been detained illegally crossing the southern border into the U.S., forcing the federal government to scramble for additional resources to cope with the influx. And they're saying that, and again, that's the bill targeting President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program is now set to be brought to the floor following the border supplement. I'm jumping all over the place. Which shields certain illegal immigrants who came to the U.S. as children from deportation, inciting the flood of illegal immigration.
Well, I still say there's nothing we can do about keeping them out, and sending them back is not a logical move because this is costing us millions. Well, it would be costing us millions of dollars because most of these lawyers that are going down there and helping out right now to find out what's going on are doing so free of charge. They're doing their thing free. They're going down and spending their money to go down and spending and not making any money to do this. But the thing is, they're making it possible for all of these people to stay because they're going to have a reason. Most of these kids are not here because they just had nothing better to do that day than walk 3,000 miles. You know, that's not what they were doing here. They really feel that they were being persecuted, that's the word, where they were, and chances are they were. And some of them, by the way, are being brought here with the drug cartel. The drug cartel is using them as mules to bring stuff into the United States.
Right.
And so there's a lot of that, too, going on. So, you know, we're talking about in a lot of cases, about children. You know, Colorado brought, never mind. The thing is, we're not going to send them right straight back. It's just not going to happen. We're going to have to find some place to put them and something to do with them. And so consequently, that's the thing we should be doing is deciding what to do with them. And the thing is, we're finding out right now that we can't just let them stack up. I mean, we're going to have thousands and thousands of them there on the border, and you can't just let them stack up. You know, how high can you let them stack before they fall over? And consequently, you've got to send them someplace, somewhere in the United States and somewhere in one of the other states, and give them someplace to live and something to do until, you know, a lot of them, they say, well, you know, go wherever you're going to go, and in 30 days or 60 days or 90 days, come back, and we'll have your trial or whatever it is.
That's the problem that's going on, is that these people get processed and they have a date to appear, and most of them don't appear.
Of course not. You think they're stupid? You know, they're not stupid because they walked through 1,000 miles. They had it doesn't make them stupid to do that. They're not going to go back. They're not going to go back. And so consequently, since we can turn them loose and allow them to go in this way, why not just simply turn them over loose and not bother to worry about it?
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be able to make it on their own.
Well, the thing is that, you know, you got people like Representative Luis Gutierrez, and this is, I'll give a hat tip to Breitbart, spent all day Friday taunting Republicans for believing that the flood of illegal immigrant children could cause havoc on our society. He blasted Republicans as cowards who are ashamed of themselves for scapegoating children. He says only cowards scapegoat children, and only those who are ashamed of themselves do it after hours on a Friday night. He said angrily on the House floor Friday as evenings. I'm going to skip down a little bit, and He says, quit jumping on. He criticized Republicans for believing that there are illegal immigrants who are gang-banging, disease-ridden criminals, bringing drugs, and are going to cause havoc on our society. They are children, Gutierrez kept insisting. See, that's the thing about being blinded. They're children. It doesn't matter that they came 57,000 within the last couple months, but they're children.
Well, of that 57,000, not that many of them were children, but in the first place. But the thing is, we're going to have to do something with them. And whether we turn them loose and let them do what they want to do or whatever, it's not going to make any difference. Some of them are going to make it, some of them aren't. And most of them are, because they are not just children. First of all, only in this country are children children until they're 19 or 17 or whatever. In the other countries, they turn into adults by 14 or so. I mean, they're not children after that. They've got a thing that they're doing on their own. And only in the United States do we play around with kids and make them think they're not worth anything until they're 21 years old. That's ridiculous. Our country is doing such a horrible job of raising the children that are here that it's hardly believable. Going back to the good old days when we were growing up, or when even back as far as when my dad or grandfather were growing up, they did have it hard. They were working hard, and they don't want it to be that hard for us. They don't want our generation to go through as much trouble as they had. And so consequently, they're making life so easy for this generation that it's not accomplishing anything except to make us a bunch of lazy slobs. And we're going to get past that, because we're going to wake up and realize that we're a bunch of lazy slobs that have nothing. And we're going to start waking up and doing something and getting smart one of these days. And until then, I just think it's going to be really hard on a lot of us. I don't worry about it, because, see, I'm leaving it to the kids, and the kids are going to have to grow up. And depends on who you are and how you raised your kids. My kids would think a little differently. They think for themselves and get along okay. But a lot of kids are just accustomed to being babied and taken care of, and they can't take care of themselves, and it's too bad.
Yeah. Well, it is too bad. And like you say, that at some point, you know, we're going to have to – this is why I say it's orchestrated, because, you know, listening to some of these people that are either blind or idiots, as I call them, you know, they're just blind and going, it's for the kids. You know, you just forget about security, forget about everything else. You know, they're for the kids. This is what's going to bring people down, because they're the country down, because they're coming over here to, quote-unquote, reunite with the families already here, or once they're here soon, they hope that things will change and they'll be able to bring their families over here. And our country, as Obama said in 2008, his vision is to fundamentally change America. And pretty soon, it's already starting. That's exactly what's happening. And if nothing else, what Obama has proven to everybody is, number one, the Constitution has no teeth, and that we have a Congress. And like you said, why do we put up with it? We've been saying for a long time that Congress has what, like a low tens, even less than that approval rating?
Yeah.
And we keep putting the same idiots back into office. And that's because we don't care. We don't do our research. And we look on the ballot and go, I don't know that person. I don't know that person.
Well, you know, I said it last time, but I really mean it this time. This next election, general election, I think it's going to be a wake-up call for a lot of people, because I think things are going to change. You know, a lot of people are listening to what we're talking about now and watching it on television, because it is showing up on television more and more and more. I mean, the actual problem that we have, and people are talking about it more. All of the talk shows on TV today that I saw earlier, all address the same problem, and they all addressed it a little differently than they have before, and they're catching on to the problem that we really have. And so consequently, I think it's going to be, when the next election rolls around, we're going to be a little bit surprised as to what the emphasis is on the
well, that depends if like you said, the last election, you know, the Tea Party, a lot of people that were Tea Party members got in, and they were saying, in fact, on Lars Larson's program, for example, he was interviewing a congressman and talking about the message that the Tea Party sent. And he said, what message is that, Lars? Is they do everything they can to get into office, and once in the office, they can do whatever they want. But I will agree with you. I can't remember the guy's name. Charles Sessions, I think, is it? No, not Sessions. He was one that was a four-time or five-time congressman, I think, and a conger, I think his name is. And he lost to somebody that didn't have much experience and was totally shocked because they said he was a shoe-in because he's been in so many times before. So maybe
I think a lot of these shoe-ins are not going to be in. And I kind of hope so, because we've got to come up with some independent thought for a change and actually do things that are different. And I think our society is waking up and realizing that we're putting ourselves at risk by letting these people go on and on and on, the same people over and over and over, without any discussion as to have they changed their mind on what they think, or have they changed their ideas on what they think. There's got to be a way that people can wake up to the fact that what we've done in the past may not be right.
Well, yeah, hopefully they'll wake up to it. But anyways, we're failing our responsibility to give out phone numbers. You want to do that real quick?
Oh, 646, if you wish to call us and make it give us an idea of what you think. Because, you know, I can't believe that everybody agrees with me and or with Robin, either one, all the time, because there's got to be somebody with a different impression of what's going on. And let us know what you think. 646-721-9887 is the telephone number to call. 646-721-9887. And again, I want to push the fact that you can get a hold of us on Skype. If you have a computer and you work with Skype or talk on Skype very often at all or do anything at all, it's free. You know, the phone number that I gave you may not be free depending on where you are. But a lot of people nowadays, we don't worry too much about that because a lot of phone systems are free for everything. But even if they aren't, if you want to get on and talk to us for free, use Skype. Skype is absolutely free. Even if you don't pay for it and you've never used it before, just get on Skype. It's free. And give us a buzz and let us know what you think. 646-721-9887 or Skype.
Exactly. And again, I'd like to invite people that if you're listening to the program on the archives, you can always send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com.
And you can tell us off on the email, too, by the way.
You can.
You can really, really give it to us. And we'll just sit and take it and tell and yell back at you.
That's right. And also, if I start taking people up and all those thousands of dollars that they keep offering me in those emails, I mean, I could retire.
Well, they usually only offer money or food for me.
No, I get there's $5,000 waiting for you, so I'd be a millionaire if all those were true.
Well, wouldn't it be true? I wish. Yeah.
Speaking of, and Flycatch brought up something that triggered a memory, which is not unusual, about false flags. And we were talking earlier today in-house here about more and more. Well, you've been in the military. You should know about what this means. What does an American flag mean that's being flown upside down?
Oh, I don't remember.
I think it means distress.
Yeah, distress or somebody died.
Right. Well, I don't think that half mass, yes, it's distress. And anyways, the conversation was that they're seeing more and more flags being flown upside down now.
Well, that could be. That could be. People think the whole country's in a huge amount of distress. Yeah.
Yeah, and just like I can't remember the bridge that somebody took the American flags down and replaced them with white flags.
Yeah, I just saw that on television just the other day that I saw that. I don't know that I didn't see. I don't look at that with such thought. I never put two and two together. I just okay. Somebody.
Yeah, New York City, according to Flycatch, he just told us. So.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point, is that I think people are starting to wake up, you know, just like the people that in California that when they stopped the three buses from coming into their town, you know, they turned them around. They stood up. And, of course, you know, they're, well, actually the supporters of illegal immigrants were in very few numbers there compared to the people that were against it. But I also get a kick out of the fact that we're now having like in the Bundy case, we're having these freedom of speech zones. You want to protest, we've got a little area here we're cordoned off where you can have freedom of speech.
You can have anywhere you want on the Internet.
Yeah, on the Internet. But, I mean, when you're at a location like the Bundy or like these people that were turning these buses away, they set up little tiny areas so you can hold your banners.
Well, that's ridiculous. As far as I'm concerned, if somebody's doing anything, I can do mine. If I have a banner that I want to hold up, if anybody in the city or wherever is holding up any kind of a banner, then I can join them.
Yeah.
I mean, as simple as that. But it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I don't really care. I can go to a city and hold up a banner on the block that I'm in, and maybe if I've got a huge, huge, huge crowd, maybe 500 people will see it.
Yeah.
But if I'm smart, I'll go on the Internet, and I can go on the Internet and put a page on there, and instantly 5 million people can see it instantly if it's interesting enough that they're going to catch it and want to see it. And even if I don't see it instantly, it can stay there forever, and sooner or later people will see it.
Yeah.
I mean, huge, huge numbers will see it sooner or later. So I'm not going to bother with this little banner in the middle of the community and with the minimal amount of 500 people that are going to possibly see it. Or even if I'm in the middle of a stadium and 50,000 people see it, well, they won't be able to see it because they're not going to be able to see that.
Right. Well, and that's why the government really doesn't like the Internet, because it's bringing people together worldwide, and that's, you know,
and that's why it's good.
Information is power. And,
that's it.
Yeah, information is power. That's why they've already, you know, getting back to the Bundy case, for example, when the, I forget what agency it was, one of the alphabet agencies. Anyways, when Bundy was being harassed by the forestry SWAT team, you know, people came from other states with guns to go up against them. And that's something that's kind of surprising in a way, but in a way our government is prepared for. That's, if you look in FEMA, some of the FEMA directives, it's already set up that they can declare martial law if they wish to. So they're already.
I think you place way too much emphasis on that slight little case with, you know, a couple of people came in with guns or with that. That was just such a small little thing and didn't mean anything, I don't think. Granted, it was because of the Internet that it got on around the world and people noticed it, and some people did decide to do something about it. But it wasn't enough people to make it worth your time to keep referring to it all the time.
No, but the whole point was is that these people, instead of just coming up and doing a peaceful protest, they came with firearms and they pointed it at law enforcement officials. You know, I haven't seen this in a heck of a long time. And the fact that people are willing to get involved, which, you know, is something that most people don't do anyways, but to bring their firearms and actually have a few people sitting there with their guns pointed at law enforcement officials, ready to do war, knowing the consequences of the whole thing, which fortunately, you know, they decided to back down. But, you know, people are standing up. There's the people that care about our country.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. You're right. Saying that the people who care, all six of them.
All six.
I mean, there were only about six people that showed up at this thing. There were not enough people to make it worth your while to even bring it up, because you know, you always get some people, some harebrained people out there that are willing to bring your gun and show what kind of whatever they are when they get me. But it's not a large number of people. You're not talking about a group of people that's going to make a difference in the world. You know, it's not happening. You know, you can't. It's just such a small people, group of people, that it's just not worth quoting.
Well, and that's something that needs to change. It, you know, otherwise Obama is going to be right.
Obama's not going to do anything. He's only going to be there two more years, and then he's out, and everything is over. I mean, again, we're putting way too much emphasis on Obama. He knows that he's got nothing to worry about anymore. He doesn't care. And so he can say anything he wants to. He can do anything he wants to. It's not going to make any difference. He's not going to get impeached. He's not going to get put out of office. The reason he's not going to get impeached, there are parts of the government that are already trying for impeachment process. But by the time it gets in full swing, he's going to be out of office anyway. So who cares? He doesn't. And so it doesn't mean anything. Obama is a dead in the water. He is nothing.
Obama knows that this is his last couple years.
That's right.
That's why he's scrambling to get done what he wants to do, and that's why we're hearing the same speeches repeated more and more about, if Congress won't act, I will. Well, Congress doesn't have to act. Congress doesn't have to do anything. But what gives the president the authorization to do what he's doing? And that's what gets me about, you know, they say that he's acting unconstitutionally. Well, if he's coming up and saying that I think everybody should dye their hair orange, and that's not constitutional, but yet there's a law passed that if you don't dye your hair orange, you're going to get cited or put in prison. Why? My point is why can Obama say he can require this, even though legally he can't, but yet it's legally enforced?
Well, in the first place, I don't believe it's legally enforced, and I don't believe that he's making a law of something like that. He's just saying that's what he wants. He can make all the statements he wants to, and he can do all that sort of thing he wants to. He knows good and well that in 2 years it's gone. It's nothing. And if he can convince people to for 2 years to do what he wants them to do, more power to him. I don't think he can convince that many people to do it.
Well, apparently he's doing it.
I don't think he is. He's making a lot of noise, and the big networks are jumping all over each other, falling all over each other, whatever you want to call it, to put him on the air, because he is still the president, and he can still make noise. But nothing's happening with his noise. He's not making any laws. He can't make laws. And
now, technically, he can't make laws. Technically, he can't change laws. You know,
that's what I say. He can tell.
It's happening. He's already made exceptions to Obamacare laws. And, you know, first of all, Obamacare is not even a legal law, because only Congress can enact a tax, and it wasn't originally a tax. It was a fine, and then the Supreme Court changed it to a tax. So now the IRS is enforcing it. And a couple years, you know, you're going to be paying a couple $1,000 if you don't have insurance. Then Obama started adding exceptions, which he cannot legally do, but he's done it. And if it's not constitutional for him to do it, how in the hell is he doing it, and why is...
Because people are just following along. People are allowing this to happen. They know he's not got much longer to go. And I think the press, the media, is making more out of it than is actually there. And consequently, I don't believe that much of what he's doing and what he's saying is actually becoming a law or becoming even something that people want to do. I think it's just a big line of bull.
Well, unfortunately, this line of bull has the power of the president. And right now, like I say, he's also enjoying the limelight of being a rock star. I mean, like, I've lost track of how many fundraisers he's went to. For one.
Well, you know, that
why are we paying him to be a fundraiser? He's supposed to be up there doing his job. He won't even he doesn't even look at his presidential briefing when he's supposed to.
Okay, we can get into this a little bit too, because I see nothing wrong with him being playing his rock star game if he wants to, because you know what they were hollering about is the fact that he wasn't acting on any of the things that he didn't know about what's going on in the country. He does know what's going on in the country. He has somebody going along with him and telling him, you know, this is the age of communications. We've got a lot of things.
You know who his communications is?
What?
This is CNN.
Well, if it's the actual thing, the thing that's not the case, because you know, we can get places much faster than we used to. It would be one thing if he was out doing a speech or a fundraiser someplace and something was happening back at the White House and he didn't know about it. But something happens back at the White House, if it's important enough for him to know about it, he's going to know about it within seconds. I mean, we have telephones, we have all kinds of things, including jets and things that move quite fast to get to him and take him wherever he needs to be. But he can make a decision from, you know, whatever little thing he's at or wherever little podunk town he's at. He can make that decision and have it back at the White House within seconds.
Well, he can, but do you think it's also appropriate for the President of the United States, supposedly the most powerful person in the world? Well, I didn't know about this until I heard it on the news.
Well, I don't believe that's the case. He has somebody telling him about what's going on in all cases. He's not listening to CNN. He's just simply not. He's not where he could listen to CNN. So consequently, see, if I'm out doing a little fundraiser at Johnny's high school, and I'm out there doing a thing, and something is happening, one of my people can tell me about it,
right,
even while I'm out on the stage. But I'm not listening to CNN to find out.
No, but I mean, like what happened to Bush during 9/11. He was reading to the kids, and one of his aides came up and told him what happened, and Bush calmly, handled it very intelligently.
He finished the story and went.
He finished the story,
and I think that's smart. You don't want to disturb the kids either, scare them to death.
Well, no, he handled it very, 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 very well, and you know, what happened after that was very well handled, too, except for, you know, of course, there's always something going on in the background, like get all the planes down, but send Obama, or not Obama's, but brain fart. Yeah, Osama bin Laden's family out of the country. That was the only plane flying at the time. But the whole point is that he handled it respectfully. You know, it wasn't kind of like, hey, you know what? I just heard on the news that some of our buildings down there and, you know, just got attacked. And I was really disturbed when I heard that, even though hours after the fact.
Well, I just, you know, I don't believe Obama is playing the game as thoroughly as he is. I don't believe Obama is making all the decisions. I don't believe he's capable of making all these decisions. I've said this all along, and he's not that smart. But somebody is making decisions who does have the smarts and the capability of doing so. And in this, how do I want to put this? In this case, they could be making these decisions despite Obama. I mean, I you know, he may think he's doing a lot of the decisions. He may think he's doing a lot of the ideas, but I believe he's got people on his staff or that are in the Congress or wherever that are doing it for him, and like it or not, they even could give him credit for a lot of the stuff, but they're doing the decision making and coming up with the ideas. And you know, we have in this particular case, I do believe that you have a lot of people in the different stages of government, Congress, representatives, whoever, that are probably the wrong people. And I think we're going to have to get them changed before very long. I mean, and I believe in the next major election that we're going to do some major changes. I mean, we're going to do some major changes in the president. It's going to be changed now, and I'm sure hoping that it ain't Hillary.
No, I hope not either. And that's the one thing that we can do: the power of the internet, and by Facebook and shows like this one, where we can remind people of the history. Don't fall for the sound bites, and look, remind people about what happened and who was in charge and whatnot, where before it'd be really easy just to go, let's see, who, I haven't heard this person, I heard this person, check.
Yeah, that's the thing, is so many times it has nothing to do with what they think or what their thoughts are on government or on policy. It's because I recognize the name, and that's who I'm going to vote for.
Or the media comes out like the Republican race for the Senate primary. Out of the five candidates, the two that actually became contenders were the ones that the media decided to give attention to, where the people without without money basically got ignored unless they did something to kind of, make a little bit of noise.
Well, unfortunately, that's going to be the same case. The media is going to make a huge difference. I mean, the people with money count. The people with money, they have money for a reason, and they can be heard. And consequently, that's who we're going to listen to.
Yeah.
And so consequently, like it or not, our ideas, make people read. All of this stuff we talk about, all of this stuff that we're going into is on the internet in black and white somewhere, and you can read about it yourself and find out. You can make your own decision. And the thing is, people don't want to read. They don't want to read about it. And now I will have to take a, I have to make the comment that in the last couple of times that I've been looking for stuff on the internet to prepare for our show, more and more and more of it has been pictures. And people will stop and look at pictures where they won't stop and read the text that goes, other than just maybe a line or two that goes with them. And I think that's going to make a big difference in how people think and what people do, is the pictures that they're showing on the internet.
I agree. Cliff, you got the last word.
Okay. Bye.
And that's all we have time for today. Again, I want to thank everybody that's been in the chat room. We appreciate it. We appreciate the input. And again, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'll be back again next Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific time. If there's anything that you want to talk about or we haven't covered, send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.